Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you ready for some football? Super Bowl 56 is just 2 days away, and there's a lot of hype about the halftime show and the commercials. But what about the game? Are you excited about the Bengals and the Rams going head-to-head? Well, joining me to talk about this are Wisdom Martin, Fox 5, D.C. morning anchor and author of Pass Interference, History of the Black Quarterback in the NFL, and Xavier Pope, entertainment and sports attorney and host of the Suit Up podcast. I want to hear what you have to say about Super Bowl 56 coming up on Sunday. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Wisdom, Xavier, thank you so much for joining the program.
Appreciate you having me. Always good. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so is it me, Wisdom? or you know, am I just...
I don't think it's just you, Harold. I think that here's the thing. The Super Bowl, people are going to watch the Super Bowl regardless. The fringe people who are not hardcore football people will probably watch the Super Bowl. But the Rams don't have a massive following because it's Los Angeles. I mean, come on, Los Angeles, sunshine. They like the Raiders. They like the Lakers. Rams, okay.
Are the Lakers playing? I'm sorry.
Well, the Lakers have been playing all year, but that's another conversation. That's a whole other thing. The Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they don't have a history of winning, so you got a team with not a big history of winning. They're up and coming, probably, against the L.A. Rams. They're a good team. Now, both of these, obviously, they're good football teams, but as far as national followings and attention, the Rams really don't do it. Now, am I going to watch the game? Yeah, I'm going to watch the game. But I'm more so, as you said, watching for the commercials and the halftime show. That's what I'm in for.
Xavier, what do you have to say about this? I mean, who are you? Who's your team, or who is your best player for this game on Sunday? Is it Snoop? Is it Dr. Dre? Is it Mary J.? Because you know, I just don't care, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't care, but many audiences do. According to Predict HQ, which estimates the National Football League's championship game would attract $117 million, that would be an increase of, 117 million people. That would be an increase of 21% in comparison to 2021, which attracted 96.4 million viewers. So that's a significant increase, regardless of the fan base, regardless of the two teams that are playing. A significant interest is in the Super Bowl this year. Now, in terms of my rooting interest, I don't own any stock. We don't have any majority black ownership in the National Football League. So I don't have to root for either one of these teams because they're not paying me a dime to be able to participate. But I will be watching and I'll be intrigued as the outcome.
I mean,
and halftime and the commercials.
You know, I understand it, and my listeners know, I like football. I don't love football. Okay. It would have been nice to have Lionel Richie and the Commodores play this year, or no, I'm sorry, the Commanders play. It would have been, or at least, you know, get closer down the line in the playoffs. That, you know, that certainly would have been nice. I honestly would have loved to have seen Kansas City in the game because I used to live in Kansas City. I would have loved to have seen Buffalo. You know, hapless Buffalo, because I used to live in Buffalo. I was living in Buffalo when Jim Kelly played.
Right.
But the Rams and the Bengals, Joe Cool, Joe Burrow, you know, I'm just not feeling it. Why is that? Is it? And look, hey, let's keep it real. Mm-hmm. These are some of the best people in the business.
Right.
You don't get here without mm-hmm. being good. And this is not luck.
Right.
This is about really, really being good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This just the thing that really gets my heart racing right now is the theme that we just played.
Right. And a lot of times you see this in basketball where it's star driven. And I know basketball and football are two different sports. In this game, you have, and this one is, you got, I said, an up and coming star, Joe Burrow, LSU, won a national championship, tore up his knee in his second year. Now he's coming back in his third year with the Bengals, and they're already in the Super Bowl. So there's an amazing story there. So he's up and coming. So there's the potential for something big to be there. And on the other side, you have the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford, who was tortured in Detroit for 12 years, like everybody else that comes to the hapless Lions. He got out of there, and now he's playing in his first year with the Rams, and that great defense with Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. Cooper Kupp is the wide receiver. Odell Beckham they acquired late in the season. So there are some storylines in there, and if this is a high-scoring game, you know, it will be a talker. It will be a talker, and people will get interested in it the closer it gets to it. I know we're just a couple of days away, but the storyline here, and the star power, normally, when you talk about a Tom Brady, you know, whether you like him or not, you talk about, you know, even Patrick Mahomes and your guy at the Buffalo Bills, but Josh Allen. Those are people who have a national attraction, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, because he's won the Super Bowl before and went the second year and his the next year and lost. But this game, it's a little bit different. You will have some people who are interested in it. Because for those reasons that I just mentioned right there. And make no mistake about it, as I said earlier, people are going to watch the Super Bowl regardless.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Super Bowl 56. Who's your team? Why? Are you excited? What are you looking forward to the most? Are you maybe excited more about the halftime show? The commercials. What is your plan for Sunday night? I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Xavier, do you think that that there may indeed be as much hype about this fantastic halftime show as there is about the game? And what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think that the everyone will watch the halftime show. I mean, it's an L.A. themed halftime show in L.A. And Kendrick Lamar, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg. I mean, these are huge names. People will watch. People will tweet. People will talk all about the halftime show. And I think it'll be great. And then there's also rumors that Kendrick Lamar may drop pieces of his new song. So people are excited about that as well. So people are going to watch the halftime show. I think it probably is going to be spectacular. And people will enjoy the commercials. Like I said before, it's projected to have a 21% increase over before. This is the second Super Bowl in a row that the team that's playing is basically playing another home game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Los Angeles. They just played in the Super Bowl 3 years ago against the Patriots. This is the big bright light. Los Angeles, a beautiful SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. And the reason why you may be not excited about it and many others is because this whole week and the last week has been it's been off the field with the Brian Flores lawsuit versus the National Football League and some of the off the field stuff that's been going on. That's really captured all the headlines. And then now people are finally focusing on the game this weekend. So I think that's a really big component of why there's a little bit tampered down feelings about the game, probably from your perspective and many others that are listening to the show as well.
I agree with that there has been a lot of bad NFL publicity and as well as a lot of news that really has overshadowed it outside of the sports world.
the, you know, this, you know, craziness in Ukraine, which is giving a lot of people an edgy feeling. We've got the, you know, inflation issues here, not just here in the D.C. metro, but across the country. We have, you know, these crime issues. You know, the country is a little edgy. And if anything, I think that some people may welcome the Super Bowl as a way to escape. What say you, Wisdom?
I agree with that. I think that that's a great call on your part, because when you think about, I have friends that I talk to on a regular basis, and we grew up watching football and rooting for certain teams or rooting for certain players. But now our conversation, a lot of the times when we're having conversations, we're football's on the back burner. We don't really talk about it like we used to. We talk about the rest stuff, and then when we do talk about it, it's, why can't they hire any black coaches? We got 70% of the players in the league that are black. 30% of the assistant coaches in the league are black. And then all of a sudden, Brian Flores gets fired and has to sue to bring attention to the fact that at that point, Mike Tomlin was the only black coach in the NFL. I mean, that's insane. And we know about what's going on with the Washington football team and the harassment and all that negativity coming out with that, and the NFL with that, you know, pseudo investigation into Washington, and how they're saying, you know, we did a bad job with the hiring of the black coaches. There is a lot of negativity surrounding that sport right now. And when you consider that a lot of black people are fed up with the nonsense, with the racial issue that this thing just stumbles over themselves over and over again, year after year, a lot of black people are just like, all right, then. There's no black quarterbacks playing. There's no black coaches on the sideline. I really don't care. I got bigger fish to fry. I watch the halftime show because it's entertainment. But other than that, they have too much racial stuff that's going on in that league for me to sit down and spend 4 hours to watch.
And there has, there certainly has been, we're back to this players behaving badly issue as well. You know, we've got, you know, Allen from the Commanders having mm-hmm. to apologize for the comments about Hitler. You know, we have the other player who was, you know, charged in relations to the deadly accident that killed his girlfriend. And yeah, certainly it's really, really hard to manage hundreds of millionaires, pumped up millionaires, you know, moving for one goal. But again, bad publicity always, unfortunately, trumps the good stuff. Let me see what our listeners have to say. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Super Bowl 56. Devon calling from Southeast. What do you think? What are you looking forward to on Sunday?
How y'all doing tonight to start off?
We're good. Go right ahead.
Great. I'm looking to see Matty Stafford and Joe Blow play in the Super Bowl. Like,
Joe
I'm tired
Blow.
Of the Brady's and everybody else, I'm tired of seeing them. I like to see freshness in the league, just like with the NBA championship when Giannis won his ring. I love to see it because it wasn't everybody you usually see in the big stage.
Who's your team of these two between Cincinnati and LA?
I'm in between, man.
Okay.
I've been watching Matt Stafford growing up, and Joe Burrow, I've been liking dude since college, and he got that swagger with him that show like he gonna be somebody big in the league.
Yeah, I can feel that. Okay. Devon, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Renee, calling
hey,
from
– this is Uptown Renee, A2, you know.
Okay. Okay, Renee.
That's right. I went to A2, but, hey, the Super Bowl – this is what I'm looking forward to. I'm being really honest. I'm looking forward to halftime. Look, I'm going to tell you, my TV went out today, and I called Verizon, and I said, look, you all got to get this fixed. Because Super Bowl is Sunday, and I'm not missing it. So y'all need to come tomorrow, okay? So this is what I want to see. I want to see the surprise guest, and I think it should be MC Hammer. I know it's not, but I would love to see Hammer.
Okay.
That's what I want to see.
Well, Wisdom says he still has his big balloon pants.
Yes, wear them pants, Wisdom. Wear them. don't be scared. Hey, Wisdom, I love to see you. You do your thing, man. I really look forward to what you got to say. You know, you hold it together, brother. You stay strong. There's a lot of estrogen up there with you.
Renee, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Super Bowl 56. What are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to the game, the halftime show? Are you looking forward to the commercials? And what are you cooking? Have you seen the price of chicken wings lately? Lord have mercy. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about Super Bowl 56, just 2 days away. The Cincinnati Bengals and the LA Rams. Who's your team? Who are you rooting for when it comes to the halftime show? Oh, my gracious. We have with us Wisdom Martin, Fox 5 DC morning anchor and author of Pass Interference, History of the Black Quarterback in the NFL, and Xavier Pope, entertainment and sports attorney and host of the Suit Up podcast. Lines are open all the way up until 8 o'clock at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go back to the phone lines, good grief. Xavier, inflation has hit the Super Bowl party. I mean, chicken wings, it may be cheaper to eat, you know, what is it, the tofu wings.
I'm vegan, so.
Then you know. you know, I will make sure that I don't invite you to my party, but.
Don't hate, bro. I don't eat tofu, by the way.
Okay, that's
no soy.
That's another show. A vegan who does not eat tofu. Wisdom, that's one of those details at 11 kind of.
Yeah, that's, we have to
film at 11.
Yeah. Look, and Harold and baby, I got wings in the oven as we speak. This is my test run.
Okay.
That's fine before the game. I've got some wings in the oven right now.
You know, I just can't. You know, that's the other headline, is that I am quite sure that inflation has hit the cost of the Super Bowl parties, from wings to any other dish that you have. If you are having adult beverages, a lot of people who may have gone on ahead in years past and had the setups, now it's like, yeah, Wisdom, bring your own, because it's expensive.
Oh yeah. And it's hard to, depending on which area that you're in the city, actually anywhere in the country, it's hard to find some of this stuff. Like, when it gets up to like a big event or something like this, when you go in the store, the stuff is gone, and it's marked up. I just happened to find that in the past, wings were, I forgot how much they were, but I go in there today and they're like $25 for a bag of wings. It's not a giant bag of wings. Everything has gone up. Gas is up. The food is up. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the crazy part is, as you know, it's not like you have a choice. It's not like you're not going to eat. It's not like you're not going to put gas in your car. It's just the way it is.
unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a time of excess, though. Yeah, a lot of people eat a lot during the Super Bowl. Just buy that's less true. Food. You know, that's all.
And invite less people, right?
Well, probably.
Potluck.
Well, for
like you said, potluck.
Well, for the vegan crowd, no Chinette. We're going with the cheaper paper plates. So.
And look, in my house with my small, it's not even a party, but I don't have to worry about liquor, so I save that money and I can put that money somewhere else.
Well, then there you go.
A liquor-free house.
Let's go to the phone line, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joe, calling from Upper Marlboro. Joe, thanks for calling.
Hey,
what's on your mind?
Hey, how everybody doing? Hey, look, I'm looking forward to everything that the Super Bowl got to give. I mean, think about it. You know, try and get back some normalcy. But I'm a New York Giants fan, and I think we should have picked up Brian Flores. I think we really should have thought about that and picked up a good head coach since we lost. Well, it was a good thing we got rid of that coach that we had. But, I'm looking for some normalcy. I'm looking for COVID has really hit us hard, you know, and it's getting worn out. So this really, really helps me to get my mind together, to be relaxed. I mean, I even got onto a pool on it. You know, it's a good thing, you know?
Well, you know what? I think Joe speaks to what we were talking about earlier, where people are looking for an opportunity to escape. This has been, admittedly, this has been a really, really exciting football season. Those so many games that have been decided at the end of the toe of a place kicker during the last few seconds. I must admit, this arguably, this is one of the most exciting football seasons. And so I agree with you, Joe. I do believe that this is part of the escapism that a lot of people need. And yes, you do have some fresh faces and some records that could very well be set. So
yes, and I think the racism thing is true with the NFL, and I think they need to really get it together, and maybe we ought to purchase more teams, put more teams. Our people, black people, should purchase more teams.
Yeah, there you go, Joe. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sarah, calling from DC. Thanks for calling, Sarah. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just saying that I'm from Seattle. I stopped watching football. I'm like, I'm over it once the Seahawks are out. But I lightweight still pay attention. And we gonna find wings. We okay? We cook Thanksgiving dinner on Super Bowl Sunday. That's what we're gonna do. So we're good. That's what you do. It's like, I like the Super Bowl not for the teams who are playing. I don't pay attention unless there's a black quarterback in there. And then outside of that, I cook the big meal.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm here for that, Sarah. Thank you so much. on the black quarterback piece, wisdom, as you are, you know, certainly, you know, the author of a book on the black quarterbacks. What does this football season say about, in your mind, about the black quarterback?
Well, this has been a successful season, regardless of whether Patrick Mahomes got to the Super Bowl or not. Think about, and I say him because he was the last quarterback standing, best black quarterback standing, because he went to the Super Bowl and won. He went to the Super Bowl the next year and lost, and this year he got to the conference championship and lost to the Bengals. He had a phenomenal year and probably should have been MVP. But think about where we are with black quarterbacks today as to where we were 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago when Doug Williams won that Super Bowl with Washington in 86. And I'll never forget Dan Dierdorf was commentating that game saying, I hope this puts to rest all those negative things that they say about black quarterbacks can't win the big one. That was 1986. And we didn't have another black quarterback in the Super Bowl until Russell Wilson did it, and then Patrick Mahomes did it after that.
So that tells me that there's still an issue. The thing now, though, Harold, is the black quarterbacks are getting an opportunity. It's like having a seat at the table. At first, we couldn't get in the room. Well, now we're in the room, and then we got in the room. Then we had to get a seat at the table. Then when we got a seat at the table, we couldn't get any food. So now we're getting a little bit of food. So it's like a slow progression. And you know, they'll have people that will say, well, the black quarterback can't win the big one. No, that's for 40 years. There were no black quarterbacks. James Harris and Doug Williams and Vince Evans for a while. That was it. And then Warren Moon, and then there was a slow trickle after that. But you didn't have that much time to build a team. You definitely weren't staying there like Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger for until they wheeled you off the field. That never happened for a black quarterback. So to see Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson out there on the field performing and all these other black quarterbacks, it's a big deal. And hey, we just got to keep supporting the black quarterbacks and the black coaches as well. And I'll go back to the coaches. You see how Mike Tomlin gets second-guessed. This is a guy who's been in the league for a long period of time, never had a losing season as a head coach. That is phenomenal. And yet every time they do not win the Super Bowl, he gets criticized like he should not even have that job. And therein lies a problem.
But let me ask you this about Mike Tomlin. Despite the criticism, he keeps his job.
Mm-hmm.
What is Mike Tomlin's special sauce that Flores perhaps doesn't have or other white coaches don't have?
Well, here's the thing. Mike Tomlin is with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Rooney family created the Rooney Rule, which is the rule that says you have to – it's a flawed rule, but it's a rule that says that these NFL owners have to interview a black candidate when there's a job opening. Now, these owners skirt the rules because what they'll do is they'll call Harold Fisher with the bar, run us through the building, and say, okay, we interviewed one, and now we're going to hire, you know, a terrible coach. And that's how they get around the rule. But the Rooney family, they're the ones who created the rule, and they own the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Steelers have never fired a coach. They've had three coaches in their entire history: Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin got the job because he was more than qualified. I'll never forget when he got the job. He was a young guy when he got it, and the critics were like, well, who is this guy? Why did he get the job? But the Rooneys gave him the job. They don't fire coaches. They don't panic, which means that they're a good organization. Now, the whole quarterback situation is a mess with Ben Roethlisberger. But they've had three coaches. Think about that, Harold. In the entire history of the team, they've had three coaches, and each one of those coaches has won a Super Bowl. Three coaches. So the benefit for Mike Tomlin is he is with a solid organization, an organization that knows how to run a football organization, and owners who don't panic every time you lose three games and start listening to all the people outside of the organization saying, well, Mike Tomlin can't coach. Mike Tomlin can't coach. They don't do that. They do not panic, and that's why Mike Tomlin has had success. And then I leave it at this. I hear these stories about Brian Flores was not a player's coach, and he wasn't this and he wasn't that. Well, think about this. Bill Belichick is not warm and fuzzy. And you can say, well, he's won Super Bowls. When he was with Cleveland, when they hired him at Cleveland, he didn't win a Super Bowl. He got fired. Bill Belichick, when he was with the Giants and with Bill Parcells, he won, but he was a coordinator. He's never been warm and fuzzy. So this notion that black people, somehow these black assistant coaches somehow are flawed because they're not in there, you know, being warm and fuzzy or whatever excuse they use not to hire them, is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. This is inexcusable, and they should fix this and follow the Steelers' motto, hire a guy, let him coach, and see what happens, and don't panic.
I want to clarify a couple things.
Sure, go ahead.
First, yes, the NFL teams have to interview two minority coaching candidates in under the Rooney Rule. And then another thing is that Dan Rooney was named after, was on the diversity committee in the NFL. This was after Johnny Cochran, a black lawyer, sued the National Football League over this before. So if there was no suit by Johnny Cochran, we never get to the Rooney Rule. And when we never get to more black quarterbacks getting opportunities like Patrick Mahomes to succeed at the highest level in the National Football League, Colin Kaepernick doesn't bring his grievances versus the National Football League. Yeah, he didn't get a chance to get back on the field, but we saw after that more opportunities open up for African-American quarterbacks to star in the league. So just like Johnny Cochran created, you know, suing to get the Rooney Rule, and just like Colin Kaepernick bringing his grievance versus the National Football League in order to get more opportunities for African-American quarterbacks to be on the field, the same way to more coaches. You get more opportunities as a coach. I think that's where it is. I mean, you looked over, I know a previous caller talked about Brian Daboll, who's now the head coach in the New York Giants. Well, the New York Giants have never had a black coach. And so that's the issue that they face. And then coming to Brian Flores in terms of his team with the Miami Dolphins, well, him being a player's coach and him ruffling feathers, well, you know, according to his lawsuit, and the complaint is that even Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, may have offered him $100,000 to lose games and then also potentially offered him a meeting with another quarterback that was in violation of player tampering rules in the National Football League. And so when he was rebuffed, Stephen Ross, that Brian Flores would have played by the rules, then he was ostracized by the team and eventually fired. And then so some of these narratives that come out in the press versus Brian Flores was, you know, you have different people in organizations leak different things about different people and damage their reputation. And that's what you've seen happen. And I think that's the bigger issue. And so once you've already seen since the suit was filed, Lovie Smith, who probably would not have got another chance to play, to coach in the National Football League, get a job in Texas that they were going to give away to Josh McCown, who didn't have any experience as a coach at all. And then you have the Miami Dolphins replace the guy with Mike McDaniel, who said he identifies as a human being, and although his father is black. And so those are the bigger issues that are being faced, but as long as you pressure bust pipe, you have to sue the National Football League to get the move along. You see with the Washington Commanders out there, I think you talked about more, another caller talked about more black owners in the National Football League. Well, we've seen this in 2018. Jerry Richardson was a former owner of the Carolina Panthers, who was made to sell the team possibly after sexual assault allegations and him calling an African-American scout a racial slur. And he sold that to another inside good old boys network for $2.2 billion. Now that team is now worth $700 million more than it was before. So not only are you locking out black power in the National Football League, you're locking out black wealth. And I think that's the bigger issue, putting pressure on the league from top down, more black representation on all levels. You got to sue them to get it done.
To this point, Xavier, okay. So we've had Flores stand up, raise the fist, and forcing Roger Goodell just a couple of days ago to, during his State of the NFL speech, to acknowledge that, and I dare I say once again, acknowledge that there are problems. Is Colin Kaepernick sitting back now and saying, I told you so? Does this make him less or more eligible, or does he remain the sacrificial lamb for the cause?
This is the sacrificial lamb. It is what it is. I mean, that's the state of as when you put yourself out there, you put yourself in a position that you're going to be the person that never plays or never coaches or never owns. Kurt Flood saw that when it came to free agency in baseball. He didn't actually win a suit versus Major League Baseball. He wound up penniless and in poor condition, but that impacted players in free agency. It also impacted, you know, other sports in terms of free agency as well. Ed O'Bannon, who sued the NCAA over a name, image, and likeness, that impacted his ability to coach and do things at the next level. Now he's ostracized in that particular sport, and he was a sacrificial lamb there. Same thing with Colin Kaepernick, probably the same thing with Brian Flores. And so it takes a lot of courage to be able to be the first person, knowing that you're going to take that hit. But you have to be able to look beyond yourself to be able to make advances in society for people who look like you, because that's the world that you want to see. You can take the Floyd Patterson route, like Muhammad Ali once said, that you can say America is great
I can get whatever I want and I can move on and I can get mine, but how does it impact other people around me? And so Muhammad Ali said, I would get more credit for standing up for beating than beating five heavyweight champions. And that's exactly what it takes to be able to change society on a bigger level. And I mean, kudos to those who have done that over the course of our history in this country.
I do want to talk about the broader social statement that this halftime show suggests. Yeah, we can say this is a nod to L.A. Okay. I don't see that. I see this as a nod to black artistic excellence, Eminem notwithstanding. Okay. Yeah, I said it. like him, he is who he is. He's a bad boy too. But if you take each of these, probably with the exception of Kendrick Lamar, because when you compare all of these people, he is technically the newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, and Eminem, they were part of the niche of hip hop, and I marvel at the fact that they are all mainstream. That just amazes me, particularly. I still can't get over the friendship between Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart. talk to me about, the full circle of hip hop culture, the maturing wisdom of hip hop culture. Your balloon pants and hip hop and MC Hammer notwithstanding,
right,
either.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, the balloon pants. Back in the day when I was wearing those balloon pants, when hip-hop was being shunned, and it was like, oh, that's just something that they do, that's two-set over in the corner, it's an afterthought, and it will be gone. Well, I'm like you, Harold, and slowly over time, when you start seeing commercials with hip-hop music, and then you start going to games way off in the suburbs, high school games where they're playing hip-hop music, all of these commercials, all this marketing, where there was like, again, it was slow. It was like, okay, at first, we don't like this, not us, but other people, companies, didn't want any part of it. And then they saw the green. They saw the money. They saw how it was selling. And then they marketed it differently. And then other people started to buy it. And then they had other artists get involved. And then there was a crossover appeal. And then slowly, it started to become this massive thing. And it kept growing, and then it started bursting at the seams. And now it's everywhere. So now when you look up and you see the OGs of the game, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and the young up-and-coming guy, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, you see all of them on stage. This is a product of, 30 years, 40 years of Run-DMC and Houdini and Rakim and Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel and the Sugar Hill Gang, and Salt and Pepper, all the, and MC Light, all of these people who did it back then and didn't get a lot of credit from outside of the community, from outside of our community, from outside of the black community. They didn't get recognized. They barely got on the radio outside of the big urban cities. And now it's everywhere. So to see it grow like that is an amazing thing. And to see it embraced like it is now, it's unbelievable.
You know, Xavier, one of the things that also really kind of strikes me, Mary J. Blige is really, for example, standing at the precipice of Auntie Mary status. Snoop Dogg, Uncle Snoop, Dr. Dre, Uncle Dre. They're not getting long in the teeth, but they certainly, I mean, let's be honest, they, and Eminem as well, I honestly don't think they've never looked better. they look fantastic. They are representing at this stage despite, particularly, with Dr. Dre, you can say what you want about, Snoop and even Eminem, a checkered past, some would argue. But for them to have come to this wizened point, and at least so far, we have not seen a lot of any criticism of this choice.
I'm going to tell you why. First, black music takes about a good cooking time, about 20, 30 years. Whether it's
good cooking, I like that.
Yeah,
this is not microwave stuff.
When it comes to the acceptability of white culture, we've seen that with soul music. We saw it before hip hop. We saw it with rock and roll before them. We saw it with jazz before them. We saw it before them with blues. So this is part of the country taking time for our culture to be entrenched in mainstream American culture. And that applies to the artists that are now. These are 90 acts that are now acceptable. When you go to any ramen shop, many other, craft cocktail bars were primarily white owned, they're playing this music. This has now been acceptable. This is now acceptable to white music, to white America, to enjoy 90s hip hop R&B and hip. And that's just what it is. And so there isn't a future at the halftime show. There isn't. There aren't any. There's not a Gunna at a halftime show. These artists that are out now. If they had these artists that were there at the Super Bowl, people would have a fit. And so what's acceptable is because they've been allowed to be able to be part of America's consciousness for a certain cooking time to be able to be acceptable to white America. And that's why they get the opportunity to play at the Super Bowl. So their season, they look great, but they had to get that season to sit in the pot, in the crock pot, and cook for a while before America said, hey, you can get on the bigger stage and perform for us.
In these last few minutes, and I'll start with you, Wisdom, what do you think will be the legacy of Super Bowl 56, no matter who wins or loses? Mm-hmm. Is this yet another Super COVID Bowl? Will it be defined by that? Will it be defined by no superstar names? Will it be defined by the black culture of the halftime? What do you say?
I think it'll be a mixture of a lot of different things. But I think the most important thing is what Xavier just mentioned is the fact that these 90 hip hop stars are taking over the stage at the halftime show, because we know people watch the halftime show, and they're going to be talking about it on Monday. Yeah, commercials are the commercials. But this is monumental because it's a West Coast Super Bowl, and you have this West Coast, it's Snoop, Dr. Dre, and you have Eminem, the hip hop. He's with Dr. Dre, and then Mary J. Blige is an R&B artist, and he has hip hop with her as well. But that is going to be so huge because that will set the tone for future Super Bowls, because it's going to be a success. There's no doubt in my mind it will be successful. So, and it'll be entertaining, which means that they will be able to do it again. Now, I also think that the game could be interesting if it's a good football game, because you will have possibly the next superstar in Joe Burrow if he wins this game, or even if he doesn't win, regardless of if he wins or not. You have the potential next superstar, the next Tom Brady or whoever, up and coming and getting ready to get on the path to greatness. And then you have the old head, which would be Matthew Stafford, representing for the older heads here. So it could be a mixture of that, but I'm really thinking this Super Bowl halftime show is big, because it's representing hip-hop culture, it's Los Angeles, it's on the national stage, and it just shows how far we've come in regards to music and accepting hip-hop culture, specifically in that area. So I think that's what's going to be a lot of people are going to be talking about that.
Xavier, your thoughts quickly. What do you think, win or lose, no matter which team, what will be the legacy of Super Bowl 56?
The Los Angeles SoFi Stadium and the culture of Los Angeles being showcased to the world, the mainstream of hip-hop and R&B, and the politicization of our country and how we look at that halftime show. And how we look at the game itself,
and also the future of the game and what does it look like in the hands of Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes and all the other quarterbacks that come after Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and has retired and Aaron Rodgers in his waning years, handing this game off to a new generation of stars.
Yeah.
That's what I'll see. Mm.
Xavier Pope and Winston Martin, thank you so much for talking to us. Oh, by the way, if I get a call, a Rooney Rule call, you guys will be the first to know. Okay, and you know, I'll have you back, Xavier, for the tofu wing thing too. We got
don't have any though.
Yeah, okay. We got to, and you said no soy. That's Spanish, isn't it? No soy. Anyway, look.
Not I.
Be safe, guys. And I really appreciate your time. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, February 11th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.